In my personal Bible study, I always like to use scripture to improve my vision. And so today's scripture is selected along that line of using God's word, that through reading his word, studying his word, praying over his word, that the final outcome is I see things more like God sees them, and how his son, the Lord, saw things, situations, the world in which he walked on this earth at his time, that I may also be able to better see and understand through using his word in scripture to see situations, the world, and even things that come into our lives a better way, a way that he would intend for us to do so. It's appropriate at this time of the year with us halfway through Lent, as we prepare our minds and hearts for the resurrection, or the celebration of the resurrection of Easter, just weeks away now, not that many more days actually. I'm reminded walking up this morning, parking right there at the side where my mother used to park, her place, her parking place, and walking up the hill and looking at the green grass this time of the year, late of March. And I reflect back as a child in this church and this place. So it's special meaning to me to come anytime to visit and to help out where I can. But especially this church and this piece of property in this building, because I have so much fond memories. I was looking at the green clumps of grass and thinking of all the neat places to hide Easter eggs, because growing up in this church, even as Sunday school in the primary department, that was a big event. Fellowship could put on an Easter egg hunt like no one else could. Back when we had that whole back field and would let the grass grow up kind of tall and high where you could hide the eggs. And my mother could give just about an equal Easter egg hunt as well at her house for our grandkids and kids growing up. So it's a lot of memories that we learn growing up that stays with us the rest of our lives. And this message kind of touches on that thing about memory. As I get older and older, I often can't find my cell phone that's sitting in my pocket, or the eyeglasses on my head. I'm looking for something and it's right there before me, like your keys, Peggy. Yeah. And so we tend to forget things immediately right around us that are pretty important. But yet, our memory is great as we age, because we have our memory to rely on, of those fond memories of growing up and the things that we learn and the things we remember and store in our heart from memory of our kids growing up and our grandkids. And we are instilling in them memories that they will, in their due time of adulthood and senior life, will remember the things that we instilled upon them growing up. So in Sunday school here, as a young child growing up, I can't give you the exact day or the teacher or the exact message, but there are scriptures that somehow in my memory bank are there. And one is the book of Jonah, that story that I'm sure I've heard quite often growing up, often referred to as the fish story. Some often question the validity of it, whether it even belongs in scripture. But I'd like to take that little child's story back in my memory bank growing up and give it an adult view, to use scripture that we can take a little simple story and through scripture improve our vision to get a more meaningful perspective of this portion of scripture. Let's open with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, as we use scripture today and look at this simple story that's handed down to me, that I've handed down and others have handed down to the next generation and the next, that, Lord, we embed in our memory the things recorded in thy word that at later in life, when we have storms come in our lives, that we can pull from those memories, those lessons of childhood through Scripture to get us through difficulties of life in older age. And so, Lord, improve our vision today using thy holy word. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. In Jonah chapter 1, I'll just read the first four verses because that's primarily the children's Bible story. Just four simple verses, something a young child can learn at a very early age. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, I'm not sure if I got that pronunciation correct. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the son, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for thy wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof, and went down unto it to go unto them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Here we have a child's story in which God calls Jonah to go and to cry against the wickedness of the people there in Nineveh. But Jonah fled from the presence of God, and he went down to Joppa, found a ship, paid the fare thereof, and moved and traveled to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. The first thing I'd like for you to see in this portion of Scripture that a child would see is that when God wants you to do something, you better do it. There are consequences. A very simple story that a child can understand. But when we compare Scripture with Scripture over in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 12, verse 40, we find out that as Jesus said, that as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the whale, so shall the Son of Man be. The first thing I would like you to see from the words of Jesus about the story of Jonah is the fact that this was prophecy in the Old Testament of the resurrection. And so it's not just a fish story about a consequence of not obeying God, and though it is that, it is a foretelling prophecy that the Son of Man would have to die, be buried, and be raised again, as Jonah was in the whale. Using one scripture in the New Testament gives us a clear vision of this story in Jonah chapter number 1. The next thing I'd like for you to see here is just like at fellowship and my upbringing here and my Sunday school teaches that how important it is to obey God, but the other lesson is you can't flee from God. I'm reminded with two granddaughters, one, my two youngest ones, age now 6 and 3, often they like to get out of our presence, the parents' presence, and when they come to visit us, they find another place in the house out of our sight to get out of our presence. And that's human nature to do. And so Jonah felt like that if he could just get away from God's presence, God would leave him alone, and he wouldn't have to go to Nineveh and cry against their wickedness. And so little children do that, but we know very well in the back room we're checking on them. And when they go out on the playground and they hide up behind the backs of the playground equipment, we somehow have that vision. We know they're okay because we can see this way and that way, okay? But it's a human nature thing to flee away from guidance and authority. and stuff that is good for us. Because at that time, when the children feel like they are in the presence of grown-up, they get in trouble. I've come the crayons and the markers and you know the rest. But in this portion of scripture, I'd like to bring out the natural view that Jonah had of Nineveh. He saw a wicked place of people. Their wickedness was so bad that God called Jonah to go and cry against their wickedness. Jonah had a view that the wickedness didn't need that. It's so hard, humanly speaking, to see people that are living in sin and wickedness do not deserve repentance. That's a natural view, and that was the view that Jonah took. I believe Jonah was a godly man. He was called by God to do a mission for God. So nothing about his qualifications to do this work. But Jonah had a vision problem, naturally speaking. He saw their wickedness and didn't want to do the job because he felt like it was not going to mean anything, was meaningless. They didn't deserve it. So humanly speaking, our view of the Syrians today, the wickedness of ISIS, it's so easy to write those people off and feel like they do not deserve a chance at salvation and to hear about God and his plan for salvation. And our neighbors, you may have somebody in your neighborhood, that grouch, you know, always irritating you to someone, or that coworker. It's so easy to just put them off and not have to deal with it. And so Jonah had the wrong view of the people of Nineveh. But God saw Nineveh different. Yes, he was aware of their wickedness, but he saw the need of sending someone to take a message and to cry against wickedness and to call them unto repentance. And so another important view here is training I have to have in studying scripture, that I see the lost people of this world needing redemption and salvation and the message of God and the love of God, and not to focus on those who are better, who would be better Christians by leading them to Christ, rather than those who are far worse off speaking sinfully. Another thing I'd like to point out here is for us to better see. In verse number 4, the Lord sent out a great wind, and there was a mighty tempest. From a natural standpoint, when we see disasters, floods, hurricanes, earthquakes, the insurance companies refer them as acts of God, do they not? In the legal term, these are acts of God. Well, not all storms and tempests and winds come from God, because scripture also teaches us that it can also come by Satan, where God allowed Satan in Job's life to inflict hardship and difficulties and storms and damage and a mighty tempest in his life. And yet we are told in scripture that Job was a perfect man in the sight of God. So we cannot discern when a storm comes into our lives or another's life or someone we know or close to us, that we can call that because of our own doing, as in the case of Jonah. There are times in which we could live the perfect godly life as God would have us do, and yet a storm can come, God allowed, for a purpose that we don't always see. And then there's a third reason why you could have a storm or tempest in your life, And it could just be a natural cause. It just happened. And an example in Scripture, using Scripture again to help us see that, is you recall our Lord was fast asleep in the bottom of a ship, and a storm came up that those others on the ship were well aware of the danger that they were in, and the Lord was asleep and woke him up. And the Lord calmed that storm. It's just something that comes up that touches our lives that's so devastating that it's hard to discern whether we're living right, we're living wrong, or it was just meant to be. So by using Scripture, I try to better understand when we hear tragedies of that airplane, recent plane crash. Wow, it just happened. We put all the technology that we can and training, and things happen. And then there are situations of floods and earthquakes and just accidents, automobile accidents, things come into our lives that impact us. And what I try to do is use Scripture to help me better understand and see things God's way and let God do his business. And we try to, in the best that we can, see things his way rather than humanly our way. So here we have Jonah. A great wind and storm come into his life because he had separated himself from the presence of God. You know, the natural man sees things through our eyes, we're told, and we form what we see, take it into our mind, and eventually it ends up in our heart. And the Bible teaches us that once it's into the heart, what's in the heart comes out through the mouth. That's the natural way things flow. No wonder Hollywood capitalizes on that truth by bringing things into our eyes on the screen to affect our minds that ends up in our heart, and then we begin to speak by what we see in the opinions that have been instilled through the natural means. But to view things the way God sees them, God, with his love, his grace, his mercy, and the Scripture teaches this principle, that first of all, God has to speak to the heart and convince the heart and change the heart. And when the heart is changed, it changes our mind, and then we see differently. And that was Jonah's problem. Jonah was looking at Nineveh and their wickedness and sin, going into his mind that these people were not worth the time of day, his time. And it instilled into his heart, and it became his motive for not going to Nineveh, but taking a ship there to from Tarshish to Joppa. And so that's what we have to learn through Scripture, is allow, when we study Scripture, when we pray and we look at life situations, Lord, speak to my heart. Get my heart right so that my mind thinks right, so that I will see things differently, that I will see Nineveh and the lost and the needy far different that way than the natural way. In chapter number 2, here's the adult lesson from the book of Jonah. Chapter 1 is the child story, the things we learn growing up, the milk of the word, of God calling us to do something and our disobedience and the results thereof from it. In Jonah chapter number 2, the first 10 verses, we see the continuation of the beginning of the story to that of a more adult nature, that we may better see things the way God wants them to see, rather than chapter 1, the way Jonah saw them. Jonah chapter 2, verse 1. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord, his God, out of the fish's belly, and said, I cried by reason of my affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, thou hearest my voice. We find Jonah, as you recall, chapter 1 and leading into chapter 2, Jonah knew to solve the storm that he was in that was affecting those around him on the ship, it was necessary for him to pay his just reward, the fares thereof, and be thrown overboard out of the ship. And of course, there was a great fish that consumed him. And it says here that Jonah prayed unto the Lord. He cried. Have you ever prayed when it wasn't a prayer, it was a cry? That was the kind of prayer Jonah was doing here. He cried by reason of his affliction. And Jonah said, he heard me. Verse 3. For thou hast cast me into the deep. Jonah well knew why this judgment was upon him. I'm convinced that when storms come into our lives and difficulties and challenges, there are times we know we deserve it. It's something God reveals to us, I had this coming to me. I should have known better. But there are times that we don't have that. And it is at those times we should not question the judgment of God, but to look for the challenges facing us and seek good out of it. And so Jonah realized in verse 3 that thou hast cast me into the deep. God did this to me. But Jonah went on, recognizing that this was of his own doings, that it was sent by God upon him. It says verse 4, then I said, I am cast out of thy sight. Jonah was running from the presence of God, and then he says, I am cast out of thy sight. Called by him, I got out of the sight of God. Or at least in his mind, he viewed that he was out of the presence of God. Yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. In Jonah's upbringing, and like our upbringing through Sunday school and what we've heard through scripture before, that in spite of our running and fleeing from God, moving from God, that he is right there, that when we turn and look toward him, we find out that God is there. Verse 5, the waters compass me about, even to the soul. The depth closed me round about. The weeds were wrapped around my head. This was far beyond a storm. The storm got worse because after he got into the belly of the whale, his mind was tormented by what he had done and how God was trying to get him to see Nineveh like he saw Nineveh. How is God going to convince Jonah to see Nineveh needing repenting? God's going to have to first work on Jonah's heart. And that's where this takes place, in the belly of the well, is with the deepness, the darkness, and the waters and the weeds all wrapped around his head. Can you imagine just being confined? Verse number 5. Then verse 6, I went down to the bottom of the mountains. You know, there are mountains on the seashores of western United States. In California, the mountains are so high, and the mountains just drop down to the ocean. And the ocean, it's like, where's the shore? There is no shore. And often portions of our west coast. But yet that mountain continues on down to the bottom of the ocean. Jonah says, I was at the bottom of the mountains. We think the bottom of the mountains is we can stand in the valley. The valley is just a valley. That's not the bottom of the mountain. But Jonah said, I went down to the bottom of the mountains. The earth with her bars were about me forever. Yet hast thou brought us my life from corruption, O Lord my God. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered. How important it is to train up a child in the way he should go, because that memory will come in handy one day when a storm comes into our lives and a mighty tempest that takes us down so far, farther than you can ever imagine going, in a situation you cannot comprehend. Jonah's trying to explain how bad it was down there at the foot of those mountains in the darkness with the weeds and the confinement and so forth. But he said, within my soul, as it fainted, I remembered. Our memory can go a long way when you can remember things that will help us in those moments of time. The things that we're taught as a child growing up. And what did he remember? I remembered the Lord. And my prayer came in unto thee into thy holy temple. Verse 8. Here's the key verse of our message. Then that they that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. It's a verse that's easy to just read on by and miss. But this is the verse that I want to use today to help us improve our vision in this portion of Scripture. Jonah was observing lying vanities. He was using his eyes, observing the reports coming out of Nineveh, their wickedness, what was going on, that these people aren't worth anything. Let them go. Let them live their barbaric wickedness life. Leave those people alone. He was using lying vanities and what he could see with his own eyes to confirm it. And because he was doing that, he was forsaking their own mercy. That God is a merciful God. We hear so much in Scripture. We sing about amazing grace, the grace of God, God's grace. None of us deserve salvation. None of us deserve a place at God's throne and an eternity with him. None of us deserve. That's God's grace. But mercy is something we know so little about. And this was a lesson Jonah had to learn. And it had to go to the heart before it could get to the mind, before he could see Nineveh the way God saw Nineveh. He lacked because he was letting his human eyes and vain reports come in and control his heart. And he had forsaken understanding the mercy of God and realizing that God would have mercy on these wicked people in Nineveh. Verse 9, but I will sacrifice unto thee with me the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord's. The moment Jonah realized the mercy of God in his heart, he began to change his mind and began a voice of thanksgiving. His crying went away, and it became a time of praise. God showed Jonah mercy by him being thrown overboard, taken by a giant fish. Jesus called a whale. Somebody says there are no whales that big. Well, this won't no whale. This was God's whale. And that whale was commanded by God to take Jonah to the depths of the sea in darkness and weeds and the like, and then convince Jonah that God can bring you out from this. God can show you mercy, Jonah. And so God showed Jonah mercy by taking and commanding here this fish in verse number 10, and the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited Jonah upon dry ground. And when Jonah realized that God had shown him mercy because of his view of Nineveh, now he could see, using the vision that God has of Nineveh, he saw Nineveh in a different light. He had received mercy. Certainly, he didn't deserve it, but God gave it to him, that those people in Nineveh didn't deserve God's mercy. But God wanted them people to come to repentance. It's a hard thing for me to do, to take scripture, read it, and then, Lord, let God speak to me that I need to extend mercy to those who don't deserve mercy. Just like I would expect God to extend mercy to me when I don't deserve it. God's perspective of how to see the loss. Heavenly Father, as we look at the life of Jonah, a simple message to children, yet within that message, an adult message. And that I ask you, Lord, that we use scripture, your word, the importance of the resurrection, and to carry forth that message of the death, the burial, and the resurrection to those in the world. God, speak to our hearts today through thy word, I pray. Amen. And I'd like to add this conclusion to it. Because Jonah left Joppa, he headed to Tarshish. Right there at Joppa was a ship that he could have stepped on and paid that fare and gone to Nineveh. That was a decision he made. These ships moved back and forth across the sea. And those who operate those ships do so. So in 3 days and three nights with Jonah in the whale, there was time for these mariners operating the ships and merchants back and forth, that word came to Jonah, came to Nineveh, the people of Nineveh, of what happened to Jonah. Jonah was a man of God. Jonah said he was sent to Nineveh to cry against their wickedness, but God took him out of this world. And we cast him overboard and see. That was the report they got. Can you imagine 3 days later, those people in Nineveh standing on the seashore waiting for the next ship to come by, and word had come about the demise of Jonah, that all of a sudden this whale comes, opens his mouth, and Jonah walks out on dry ground. We underestimate the impact of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, do we not? That open tomb can convince wicked people to see that we have a God of love, grace, and mercy that he wants to instill upon us if we will only repent. What a message. The resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. I hope you've heard the message many times and respond. And my prayer today is that, Lord, help me see through the resurrection the power of your grace and mercy.